A playlist original.
The Roots of the Science Podcast with your girl and with Annie.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Root of the Science Podcast with your girl and with Annie. If you are new here, let me take the time to say welcome to the show. It is such an honor to have you listening in, and I hope you definitely stay. To my regulars, thank you so much as always for tuning into the show. It's always such a pleasure to have you coming back. Now, a reminder that if you want to be in touch with everything that goes on the show, remember that you can follow the show on the following social media pages. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Root of the Sci Pod, or LinkedIn and Facebook. You can follow the Root of the Science Podcast, and also we are on TikTok. You can follow at the Root of the Sci Pod as well. Remember that if you love this episode or another episode, make sure to leave a review on wherever you want to, be it on the social media platforms, or send an email directly at the Root of the SciPod. Also, if you know somebody who should be on the show or you think you should be on the show, don't be shy, send me a DM or send an email at therootofthesciPod@gmail.com and we'll see how we can get you onto the show. Most importantly, you can listen to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever else you listen to your podcast, and make sure that you put on the notifications so that the minute an episode goes live, you are the first one to hear about it, right? And of course, share far and wide so that more people can listen. Also, a reminder that you can support the show using the support the show link. It goes a long, long way in providing for all of the show production. So really appreciate if you can do that. Now, let's get into today's episode. My guest today is Takalani from South Africa, or otherwise known as TK in this episode. She's a civil engineer currently working at the Department of Health in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. In this episode, we discuss her journey into the engineering field, touching on being a female engineer as a student and also in the professional setting. Takalani also explains her role as a project manager managing multi-million rand projects. We discuss all of this and, of course, so much more. So do tune in. Hi, Takalani. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much for the welcome.
I'm so excited to have you here. So disclaimer, I do know you personally, and I'm really excited for us to have this chat because I even learned some things about you preparing for this interview. So I'm really, really excited to have you. But for the people who don't know you, please may you just give us a brief introduction. Who is Takalani? Where are you from? Where you currently based, and just in brief, what do you do?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I am Takalani Nechipare. Sorry, I just had to say it very vendor. I am from Pretoria, South Africa, and I'm currently based in Pietermaritzburg in KwaZulu-Natal. I currently work for the KZN Department of Health as a civil engineer. Yeah, there are civil engineers at health. And yeah, no, I've been there for a year now.
Okay, fantastic. So we are going to get into that, your area of expertise, and we're going to come to that, like health, engineering, how does that work later? But before we get into all that you do, you know, you actually spoke about how, away from who you are, you actually love to travel, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? So I just wanted to be like, if you had all the money in the world, all the visas to travel anywhere where you wanted to, what is your dream destination, or even if there's a couple, and why?
Okay, wow. Look, I actually have a long list. I think it's about, let's say, five types of places that I'd want to visit. And okay. You know, I'll just give one example. Number one, the USA, mm-hmm. because we've been watching those people, right, on TV. I want to go and see it for myself. I just want to see what's happening. Yeah, like your New York, your Miami. Yeah, I just want to go see what's actually happening there. Number two, your beach vibes, your Mediterranean vibes, your island type of vibe. So, your Thailand, Bali, even Zanzibar in Tanzania. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten a chance to go there. And then number three, let's say the mountains, snowy areas. I heard that Scotland has, no, not Scotland, sorry, Switzerland has some lovely scapes, especially when it's snowing. As long as it's just for 3 4 days and I'm out, then that's it, just for pictures. Literally. Oh.
Yeah. Just for
Just for the gram.
the
And I think the fourth place would be a place like Tokyo, where it's busy, it's lights, it's a whole bunch of everything. And yeah, number five, I'm still yet to figure out where it could be. Yeah, I'm still figuring out where it would be.
That's so amazing. Very diverse places, very diverse places, and like it's a bit of everything, like you said, just for the aesthetics, for the chilled out vibe and for the lights and the technology. So yeah, no, it sounds like a very like it can like meet all of your personal needs in various different ways. That's pretty
Thank
cool.
you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so okay, so you mentioned that you're from Venda, right? We spoke about all these places that you want to travel. So let's take it back to the beginning, right? As before you were this amazing civil engineer doing the amazing things that you were, did you always know that, getting into the field of engineering or science as a whole was something that you want to do? Or was it one of those things that sort of were like, oops, oh, I'm here. Okay, let's carry on. Like, what is your story?
I think it's like a mixture of both. But how I started, I'm actually a sketch artist. So I used to sketch growing up. I used to sketch these lovely girls in these lovely outfits, and then I moved on to portraits, and then any celebrity picture I could find, that was me sketching. Yeah, so I'm more of the creative type of person, and I thought, let me try and do something like graphic design. And parents are honest enough, so my dad was like, oh, look, at that time graphic design was not big, so it wasn't a popular thing. And he just said, look, I understand you want to do it, if it's really your passion, do it, but there are bigger things you can do. And as the years progressed, then my sketching, was more focused at designing buildings. So I said, okay, let me see what I can do in terms of designing buildings. And then I heard that there's architecture. And I was like, okay, that's what I wanted to try. But now as you go, you realize that that you're good in maths and science, and someone says, look, those are the subjects that you actually need for engineers, and they earn a lot of money. And I was like, hey, I was like, okay, I'm going to actually just check what's happening. I really thought it was boring, just because I didn't know a lot of role models that were civil engineers at that time. Yeah. And I applied for architecture as a first choice at one university and civil engineering as a second option. And then at another institution, I applied for civil engineering first, and then architecture second. And along the way, I literally just decided, you know what? I'm just going to be an engineer. Let's see how it goes. Yeah.
And here
And
you
here I
are.
am, years later.
So that's quite interesting. I didn't even know that you're okay. Well, I sort of knew you're a bit creative, but it's so cool that you took sort of your love and your creativity, and I mean, with the very honest advice of your father, you kind of blended it into this career that you are in, right?
No, thank you.
So there was something that you also mentioned about how you didn't quite know a lot of like visible role models as an engineer, right? So for me, when I think of engineer, I'll be honest with you, it's only now that I'm getting like, I think of a man, like pure and simple is
I literally, that's the first image I think of a man. So it is, we are very frank that you are a woman in a very what male dominated
Yes.
space, right? So I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm sure you probably get it a lot. But what are some of the challenges for you into entering the space? And I'd love for you to talk from even from the beginning onset and just your academic journey and more into the professional setting.
Okay. Yeah, look, and thanks for bringing it up because there are different challenges academically as a student, as well as when you start working. Yeah. As a student, the challenges that I had to go through is that majority of the male students, just if they knew that they knew whatever that they're doing, you know, they had memos for tests, they kept it to themselves. Whereas us women were more willing to share it with everyone and we all win. And you know, they eventually did realize that we do have more access to some things. And we eventually convinced them into being kinder and softer. So those were some of the challenges that we had. As well, you know, if the top of the class is a female, they also do look at you and say, okay, but what did you do differently? And I think for us in engineering, it wasn't a matter of, oh, okay, did you sleep with a lecturer? You know, because it wasn't that common in at the time that I was studying. But they just wondered, like, what did I do to actually get to the top of the class? So yeah, those were some of the challenges that we had as students. And then now when you actually start working, it also depends on the space that you're working in. So if you are working in an office place, a consulting type of space, you get to a point as well where they will look at you and say, oh, please take down the minutes. And you just wonder, okay, so we're all engineers in this room. Why am I the one taking minutes? And they say, no, but females are very good at these things. And you just sit there and you're like, no, you know, but because you just started, you're not going to say no until you realize they will never do that with the males. As well, in terms of progression, I mean, as females, there's a lot of things that we have to, you know, start considering. We have that time of the month, you know, and unfortunately, we don't experience it the same way. Some people are more sick than others. Some people actually want to be home in the comfort of their home at that time. And they just see it as, oh yeah, women are like that, you know. So that's why we don't think she'll ever be a boss because they always have something to do. They're never always available. Yeah, no, and it's a big thing that I think is still in the industry. I've seen it quite a few times. So when you are in the construction industry, same thing as well. They want you to be aggressive, quite aggressive with your approach and everything that you do, because that's what construction is about. It's tough on site. We're all wearing hard hats and hard boots, and we need to just be aggressive. And if you try a different approach, they see you as weak. They see you as someone who's too soft. And I've had that before because I'm honestly not the screaming at a person and swearing at them to get them the job done. I always feel like you need to understand a person and how they work, then understand how you can convince them to their level to be able to do the work. It's not always about aggression. I think that's just the one thing about me that I should just put out there. So yeah, those are the challenges that I've had.
You know, I love how you spoke on, like you said, that the academic side when you were coming up versus the professional side, and also just the two different areas, be it the more construction or more the consulting. So those are very obvious, you know, issues that I'm sure many women in engineering face, and I'm sure it's a commonality, right? So as the space opens up and as more women are, you know, being empowered and, you know, we're getting more women in these spaces, is there support? Do you feel like there's support amongst the women or in the organizations? Maybe you can speak to this either on a personal level or just if you do know, if you want to speak about it generally, but is there support where in those situations where it kind of makes it, dare I say, better? for women to yeah. thrive in that space?
Yes, yeah, there's actually quite a lot of support that I've seen, and it comes in different ways, from someone who's actually not even in engineering encouraging you, you know, and coming to you and saying, look, if you need a shoulder to cry on, I'm here for you, to the top engineers, female engineers that, you know, are doing big things. For example, there's the lady that I consider as my mentor slash role model. She mm-hmm. she's the head person of diversity and inclusion in the South African Institute of Civil Engineering, in project management as well. So she openly speaks about how she's enforcing the fact that we need to adjust how we look at diversity and inclusion, especially for females, especially for us Black females. And she's written a book about it. She's got multiple articles where she goes into it. She posts about it. She's got an organization which looks at mentoring females and linking you to a female professional engineer as a female graduate. You know, there's that. There's another lady that has an app as well that she developed just for women, where you can literally just talk about whatever you want to talk about, especially for women in the professional space. It even has an SOS button. I was really, really surprised with that. And it is meant to accommodate a lot of women and actually support them in these times of troubles. And as well, I'm trying to think of, you know, what other initiatives are out there. There's a lot of people that actually speak about talking to whoever actually that you actually see speaking about it on LinkedIn, because I always say it's not really about the people that are always close to you, but I feel like most, if not all, women are literally actively trying to push towards including everyone and supporting females in this specific space. So the support is quite big. I've actually seen a few males encouraging men to have girls on their team.
Wow.
Yeah, like there's a guy every week, he literally puts a caption and he's like, make the girl the caption in your, sorry, not caption, the captain in your team. It's like, make sure you put girls in your team. And he's in accounting. And he's just like, there needs to be a woman in your team because we need to include them and we need to support them. Yeah.
I wanted to say, wow, that's so amazing that you have people who are, you know, in the space and who are creating an environment that is, you know, equipped for women. I love what you said about the app and the SOS. Like, that is so amazing and that's so innovative. And even what you said about how, you know, you have role models such as the lady who you mentioned, and I'm sure even for you, you are also a role model or a mentor to somebody else. And it's really great that, you know, it's going to create an opening for more women to feel safe and to be included in the space that you are in. And speaking of the space that you are in, we're going to talk more about that now. You are a civil engineer who, like we said, you're working at the Department of Health, right? And I remember when I found out you're working at the Department of Health, and everyone always goes like, how does that work? You are an engineer, Department of Health. So can you please tell us more about this role that you're currently in and what exactly it involves?
Okay. I also felt the same way when I applied for the job. And I said, why do they need civil engineers? So my job is mainly focused at taking care of our health facilities. So I work for a provincial office, the KwaZulu-Natal office, and that's essentially looking at maintaining and upgrading of hospitals and clinics in the entire province. So we have about 11 districts, and these districts are huge. And I think from what they said the last time, we have about 1,000 health facilities, which is hospitals and clinics.
Wow.
Yes, it's quite a lot. And look, they all have their own issues. Today it's maintenance, the next day it's a matter of expansion. So we do different projects. We also have different components. So we do have a maintenance team, whereas now the civil engineers work on more strategic projects in terms of maybe upgrading a hospital or building a new facility on its own or fixing something. Because I mean, some of the facilities are okay. It's just a matter of maybe there's a shoulder that's broken off, or especially after the floods that occurred, there's an embankment, or there's a sloping edge that is now starting to chip away at the fence, or it's 5 seconds away from taking the building with it, you know. So that's where we get involved. Then as civil engineers, we provide the specifications of what needs to be done for it, and then we put together a proposal. We call it a brief, but it's a proposal document where you now say, look, this is the spec. This is what I think should be done. This is how much I think it should be done. And as much as possible, we then provide solutions. And where we are not able to, or we do not have the capacity to do that, then we get consultants and get contractors to assist us with that work. Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting. But it makes a lot of sense when you put it like that. You know, like the Department of Health facilities needs people like that. So in fact, you are a project manager, right, on this project? So what does that mean? What does, when you are managing the project, what does that mean that you are actively
so doing? As a project manager, I know there's, you know, the project management institution will probably kill me for this, you know, for not stating the correct life cycles of a project, but you literally do everything from the start to the finish. So you are the person that manages how the project rolls out. So the planning that goes into it, or actually from identifying what the problem is, how to address the problem, how to plan for it, how to develop it, how to design it, how to actually do the work on site, because we do have contractors that come and do the work, but they need to be told how to do it. They need to be instructed how to do it. They need to do it on time. They need to do it according to cost. So as a project manager, that's what you manage. You also maintain and monitor the quality of the project, because it's not just about rushing it, but it needs to be according to the quality that you prescribed or that is of industry standards, and making sure that they do the work on time, and make sure that it's the finishings are, you know, acceptable for the end user. Because at the end of the day, what happens is if the end user is not happy about it, then, you know, it just defeats the entire purpose of the whole project. So as a project manager, you need to literally run it from start to end and make sure that you close all the loopholes, pay everybody that you need to pay according to what they've done, and hand it back to the end user.
Wow. Damn, look at you, girl boss. That's so amazing, and that's so inspiring. Like, I have like a huge level of newfound respect for you. But quickly, as before, like, you know, we have to wrap up, I just have one question, right? What is the best part of your job? Like, you say it sounds like it's a lot. It really sounds like it's a lot of work. So what is that one thing that when you wake up in the morning, you're like, yes, I'm excited to do? Always, maybe not one, but what is that part where you get excited about what you do?
You know, I think for me, the biggest thing is because I'm working for a government department, not saying that the funds are always available, but there is support towards the need of actually fixing the infrastructure of these health facilities. So the fact that there is support, and the fact that the end user is someone that's working throughout those conditions. So if it's something that's totally bad, like a leaking roof, that person is still working. They're still doing their job. They're still coming every single day in those conditions. And we are the ones that need to help them. So I think for me, just understanding that we play a very big role in it. We have support. And at the end of the day, there will literally be a physical and feelable change when you fix something. I think that's what motivates me every single day.
Oh man, that's so amazing. Like you said, like, I think the change part, because there's nothing more frustrating than feeling like you want to do something and you can't because of XYZ or limited funds or limited
Yes.
resources. So it's pretty amazing that you are supported in this role. And time is unfortunately wrapped up, but wow, you've shared a lot with us. And I think if somebody's just like listening to you and is like, oh my gosh, she sounds so amazing. What are some words of advice or pearls of wisdom that you would like to just share with somebody, be it about entering your particular field or even just some things that you've learned about life on your own?
I think the one thing I've learned is you're the only person that knows how far you want to go. And even if you don't know, find something, keep pushing towards it and keep on moving the goal, because sometimes we become complacent when we reach one goal. But once you achieve it, go to the next. And always make sure that you surround yourself with people that support you. There's always someone looking to support you. So support and just focus on the goal in whatever that you do.
Amazing. Yes, fully agree about support. And the funny thing about support is sometimes you might think you are struggling and there's nobody there, but it's just because you didn't say, I need help. And then you realize that like all the gates open and people are wanting to help you, because in most cases, people want to see you succeed. So thank you for that wonderful pearl of wisdom. I had such a great time talking to you, and unfortunately, time has ended. I had so many other more questions, but for another time. So yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on to the show and chatting with me this evening.
And thank you very much as well for the invite. Definitely an honor for me. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do an interview. So yeah, thank you very much. I really did enjoy it.
Oh no, fantastic. You are so welcome. And to everybody else who's tuned in, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Root of the Science podcast with your girl, Anne with an E. Until next time, goodbye.